This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson. And as always, thanks for tuning in. That din and clinking you hear in the background is the sound of the folks at the Mackinac Policy Conference in the dining room of the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island up here talking about Detroit's challenges, the state's challenges, national challenges, talking about whether we might think of those things differently, think of different solutions that we come up with when we're all together in Southeast Michigan. We're talking right now with leaders who are here, business leaders, political leaders, philanthropic leaders, and speaking of such, our next guest is the president and CEO of the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, one of the largest foundations in the world, Lejeune Montgomery Tabron. Welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thank you, Stephen. It's nice to see you and nice to be here.
It's nice to see you in person. I don't know that I've seen you in person in the last 2 years.
It's been about that. Yes, we've all been a little detained.
We've had to be a little separate. So I love having you on the show to talk because I feel like we always have really great conversations, not just about the foundation and its work, but the importance of that work to the city of Detroit and to people like you and me who grew up in the city of Detroit and who are really familiar with the needs, the broad spectrum of needs that we have. So you've been in this role now for, I can't remember how.
Over 8 years
now. Is it 8 years
now? Yeah, and I just celebrated my 35th anniversary at the Kellogg Foundation.
Is that right?
So wow. It's been a journey.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you came into the role of CEO and said, we can do this differently. We can do this smarter, and we can do this with more impact. So talk about how that has unfolded over the last 8 years.
It's been very interesting, Stephen, and you know, prior to the pandemic, you and I spoke a lot about workforce development, mm-hmm. right? And how we want to make sure that impact for us is putting people in jobs, yeah. quality jobs, livable wage jobs, creating pathways for families so that they can create stability for their children, supporting entrepreneurship in the city of Detroit, being part of that recovery in a way that looked to families and neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And then there was this pandemic, right? And so we're here on Mackinac this week talking about, of course, workforce, but how we now have a greater hurdle because the state of Michigan, for example, lost 23% of its jobs during the pandemic.
Right.
And really talking about the impact of this pandemic that was more disparate as it related to people of color, women, and now what the recovery and reemergence must look like and how intentional we have to be moving forward as we are looking at creating opportunities for people of color in the state and women and looking at those issues that will impact their ability to be part of the economy. And childcare was the top of the list.
Yes.
We saw how devastating that critical function is for employment, mm-hmm. for parents, mm-hmm. for children, and you know, it's great to be in a space where we want to do something about this.
Yeah. So, I mean, Kellogg has this really intense focus on children and kids birth to age 8. I feel like they've taken the brunt of some of the consequences of the pandemic. The question to me is, so what do we do now? What are the levers we pull to soften the blow, but then even more than that, to push them further ahead than they were before, and especially in places like Detroit, where you layer on top of that all the other problems that we have, it's not an easy question to answer.
It's not at all, and you know, in Detroit, we partnered with Kresge and we launched Hope Starts Here, which is all about making sure that every child in the city of Detroit has access to early childhood development from 0 to age 4 before entering kindergarten. When we started before the pandemic, 2017, we were looking at about 28,000 seat gap. During the pandemic, that went to 43,000.
Wow.
So the opposite direction.
Yeah.
We're now starting to whittle down at that, but we're understanding very systemically what it's going to take to fill that gap. The good news is because of this pandemic, employers are now keenly aware of the importance of child care,
yeah,
not only for the child, but for the family,
for the
and
family,
for productivity.
Yeah.
So we're taking in partners in that regard. And I think overall, ARPA dollars mm-hmm. are critical. And we want to really push to make sure that some of those resources are deployed in ways that are looking at, you know, universal pre-K in the city of Detroit, ways to invest in new providers in this space, to increase the wages of the providers in the space mm-hmm. of early child care. We learned that most of the providers in this age range, 0 to 4, they are making minimum wage and left the profession because they could get more resources on unemployment. And we have to make this a profession that is a pathway into a teaching profession,
yeah,
so that we can make sure that there's a career pathway for providers in this space.
Yeah, yeah.
You also brought this incredible lens of racial equity to the fore of Kellogg's work. And I've always thought it was kind of an innovative way you did it. You said, look, there is a business case to be made for equality, for racial equality, and that has a different opportunity, I think, to reach people's minds and influence their actions than some of the other reasons that we talk about racial equity. You and I talked about that when you first adopted that. Give us an update on how that's going.
It's going well. I think the narrative of the business case resonates with people.
Yeah.
And for the state of Michigan, for example, we quantified that. And we basically said that, you know, if we were to make sure that every adult had an opportunity to enter the workforce or become an entrepreneur, that we could create an additional $92 billion of GDP for the state by 2050. And that's about, you know, $15 billion a year in additional revenue for the state. So part of that business case was not only that we were leaving dollars on the table, there was also this concept of our shared fate. So as we leave people behind, we're not just leaving them behind. We're preventing our state from growth and opportunity. And as that begins to resonate, I think what's happening is we're having more people very interested in understanding now how to address these issues of equity.
Yeah.
They want to do it, they just don't know how. And so what we've done in the last few years is we've added programs. We have an area of funding, we're calling it Expanding Equity, where we're actually working with corporations
mm-hmm.
and helping them think very deeply about how to create an equitable work environment and to recruit in more equitable ways so that the opportunities are opened up for all people. And
yeah,
that's getting some great tractions. We've worked with over 80 companies now, and they're putting in solid practices,
yeah,
changing their HR practices, and really committing themselves to think about what true equity looks like. And what we've said to them, and it's been very interesting, because we tell them that you don't get to racial equity until you address the issue of racial healing.
Yes, yes.
So healing is at the heart of racial equity. And at first, some of these companies were like, what is that?
What are you talking about?
But they're learning how to create trusting relationships within corporations that allow all people to thrive and really value their differences.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of good timing to be encouraging people to do that, because I think nationally, maybe, we are more open to the idea of, first of all, looking back to try to assess the damage that racial inequity has created, right? Assess what can be done to pay back people who are harmed by it. But then that is the only way, really, to get to a space where, okay, now we can make things equal because we've dealt with the things that have happened in the past. And that's a really hard thing to say in a C-suite. I know that. Mm-hmm. But maybe this national conversation makes it a little more palatable.
Yeah, I really do. And it's been interesting because you do get that first reaction. And I think part of the initial reaction is from lack of awareness, from lack of understanding. And you know, people think about this work as just training. Mm-hmm. You know, we did our unconscious bias training, and it's so much more than that. Mm-hmm. If you're really trying to create a culture that is an equitable culture that allows everyone opportunities to thrive. So we've gotten down to how companies think about sponsorship within their company. Who gets sponsored? Mm-hmm. What does mentorship look like? How do you make sure that someone is on a promotion pathway so you're not just recruiting people in the entry level, and then you have what we call for some corporations the leaky bucket, where your people of color leak out and never make it to the C-suite or real leadership positions. And by framing it that way, people understand, you know, that's costly for us, and it's not allowing us the type of diversity that we need to be on top.
Right, right. When we talk about the dollars that could be made, could be in the economy, there's an equitable dimension to that as well, right? It's not just that business itself will make more money. It's that the people who make up business will do better and have more opportunity. And that's a really difficult thing to get people to understand as well, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, the other part of that is, and it's why we support the Entrepreneurs of Color Fund in the city of Detroit.
Yes.
When you're creating wealth,
yes,
you actually want to have people of color invested in. We need access to capital. And that's been a part of the inequality. People of color have a harder time accessing the capital to grow their own business. And through our Entrepreneurs of Color Fund, what we've been able to do is promote the startups, the recovery coming out of this pandemic. And what we know is that people of color will tend to hire more local people. And small business is what really grows your economy. We know that. And so our investment in entrepreneurship and local investing is, I think, a part of the foundation that's really going to grow a Detroit, for example.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Lejeune Montgomery-Tabron, it is always really great to talk with you. It's especially great to see you up here on Mackinac Island.
It's great to be back.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Stephen. You have a great time up here.
Yes, you too. All right, when we come back, we are going to talk with Congresswoman Brenda Lawrence. She is the Congresswoman right now for Michigan's 14th District. She is not seeking re-election. We're going to talk about why. We'll talk about what she's done while she's in Washington and what she might be thinking of doing next. Stay tuned for more Detroit Today.